This recording of a channeling session is intended for your personal use only and is protected by copyright. Please do not duplicate it for any commercial means, and please do not post it to any website. Feel free to post a link back to it on www.josiah.com. Thank you.
Once again, it is indeed a pleasure to be back in your vibrational living. We would remind you that there continues to exist that opportunity for you to be involved in that silent communication, in that telepathic interaction and exchange of information, and that that opportunity to alter your consciousness and to be involved in that telepathic interaction continues to exist. And as a result of the energy that you have created in this space on this afternoon, it would be quite easy for you to close your eyes and express the intent and to be involved in that silent communication. But once again, as always, that choice is yours, absolutely. Now, liking who you are, allows you to begin the process to love yourself consciously, something which many of you do quite frequently, something which all of you do at the level of consciousness from which you create your reality. And each of you has the ability to bring that into your so-called awakened consciousness state. And it will definitely assist in raising your expectations, which will in turn allow you to experience what you may term as more gratifying success in your conscious creation process. Gratifying success, because you're already quite successful, just accepting then the understanding of that. Success can be difficult in your so-called awakened consciousness state, once again as a result of your choice to limit your understanding of your creation process. Like who you are. Love yourself consciously. Understand what it is to love not only yourself consciously, but to love others. Firstly, it's very difficult to love someone else if you can't love yourself consciously. Difficult for you to give something that you don't consciously believe that you have to give. Love yourself consciously. Understand what love is. So many entities existing in your current and indeed in your past incarnational periods utilize or are involved in what they might refer to as loving situations without understanding what it is to be involved. Love is a state of being and a state of doing. Someone may express to another that they love them, and as you see it frequently in your interactions with others, or I simply love so-and-so, or I love what you're doing, or I love this or that. Entertainers, for example, will look upon an audience and love their audience, and the audience in return will suggest that they love the entertainer. They're involved in an interaction in which they have mutual respect, perhaps. But in the true context of love, perhaps not. Love is a state of being and a state of doing. Being in love means that you experience certain feelings and emotions, and once again you exist in this vibrational level to experience those intense range of emotions and feelings. feelings of joy, feelings of belonging, feelings of security, feelings of intimacy. Those feelings are feelings that you experience when you're involved in a loving situation, be it self-love or love for another. And you do things that allow either yourself or others to experience those so-called positive emotions and feelings. You give to someone or to yourself to allow you to experience that joy or that security or that trust. And it's important that you understand what giving in a loving situation is. To give unconditionally, to allow another to experience the emotions and feelings, means just that. The gift is unconditional. You can be involved in, and many are, in relationships with those that you are indeed in a loving relationship with. And you can be involved in what you might refer to as a gift, but you put conditions upon the gift. And each of you can frequently come up with examples where I will give you this but, I will give you this providing. And when you put in the buts or the providing, you put in the conditions. And when you put in a condition, it's no longer an unconditional gift, but it's a contract. And perhaps that gift that you refer to as being unconditional, which has now become a contract, is something that you might have in immeasurable terms, a monetary gift, for example, which in return requires someone to perform in a certain way that gives very little returns in terms of a monetary response. But nonetheless, it's a gift upon which you have put a condition. It therefore becomes a contract. There's nothing wrong with contracts. There's nothing wrong with contracts, indeed. And many times, being involved in a contract can allow one to experience those certain feelings of, and emotions that are involved in love, such as security, perhaps even joy. But when it's an unconditional gift, when there are absolutely no conditions, it's a gift of love, of unconditional love. And the recipient experiences a deeper sense of joy, and perhaps security, and perhaps trust, because there are no conditions. So understanding what it is that you're involved in an interaction with another, can indeed have an impact upon the expression of love that you're attempting to display to another. Know what it is. Know what it is to be involved in a trusting situation. Many individuals would suggest, well, I trusted so-and-so to do such and such a thing. You can't just trust someone to do a certain thing. You must first of all be involved in a situation where there's a possibility for you to have an exponential loss that sort of supersedes the gain. You see, if you don't have anything to lose, it's not really a trusting situation. You have something to lose. And then you must believe that that entity will indeed be trustworthy. They don't think that you can trust someone, even if you're involved in what you might, in some sense, be a loving situation. If you don't trust someone, then there are limitations. And you can become involved in what you might refer to and believe is a trusting situation. But if you don't believe that the other entity is trustworthy, then you're just sabotaging your own sense of well-being and interaction. You must believe that someone can be trustworthy, and then you must solicit the trust. If you don't solicit the trust, then you can't be a trusting situation. You can tell someone something, and then after you've said to them, oh, by the way, I trust that you will tell someone. Now you solicit the trust before you become involved in the situation. And understand what trusting situations are. You can't go buy a lottery ticket for $1 and expect to win $1 million and suggest, well, I trusted that my higher self would create that reality. It's not a trusting situation. The potential loss is minuscule compared to the potential gain. So you must have a potential loss, and you must believe that it's a trusting situation, or that the entity that you're involved in can be trusted, and you must solicit the trust. You don't put all of those in place. You're not involved in a trusting situation. You can't experience the emotions and feelings that are surrounding and involved in those types of situations. If you don't understand that perception, then you're setting yourself up for disappointment. And it becomes difficult to feel successful when you experience those disappointing interactions and exchanges. Difficult to experience that sense of well-being, that sense of security, of joy, that comes from being involved in a loving situation. Understanding what it is to be involved in an emotional commitment to another. Have parameters of what it is. Is that commitment involved to the point where it becomes suffocating? Or is it commitment where you indeed allow the other to be who they are and to accept them and to be committed regardless? To allow that individual to feel a sense of security and of joy and of trust. It's important that you understand all of the aspects that are involved in a loving situation in order to, first of all, have the opportunity to judge whether or not you are involved in a loving situation and whether or not you indeed are presenting to another the necessary commitments, the necessary things that allow them to experience the feelings that are associated with love, loving oneself, loving another, to be intimate with another. You see, so many of your terminology, so much of your language has various meanings. And so when you talk of intimacy, for many it's a physical interaction and involvement, and that's not necessarily the only intimacy that is involved in a loving situation. Intimacy is involved in allowing the other to be who they are and to love them anyway. Intimacy is allowing someone to express their deepest fears and desires and to trust that those fears and desires will be validated and that they will not be violated. That's involved in a loving interaction, in a loving relationship. So you do things that allow another to experience certain emotions and feelings. You do the same for yourself. If you don't give to yourself unconditionally, if you don't allow yourself to understand and to know who you are, if you can't look into the mirror and love what you see, then you will have difficulty in expressing love to others. You must like who you are, love yourself unconditionally, express love to others by doing the things that allow the others to feel the emotions and feelings surrounding love, those feelings once again of joy, of intimacy, those feelings of security and of trust, and understanding what those particular elements of feelings are involved in. Understanding what it is when you allow another to be who they are and to accept them for who they are without judgment, without criticism, that allow them to experience a sense of security and of joy.
and of being well. Those are the aspects that you expressed once again, first to yourself and then to others, in order to be involved in the feelings of self-love and the feelings of loving and expressing love to others. Understanding what love is necessary in order to accomplish and to be successfully involved in a loving relationship. To simply suggest that you love someone, or that you love some object, or that you love some type of experience that you're involved in, is an expression of a word. To love someone in the sense that you're involved in a relationship requires that you do certain things, once again, that allow the other to experience certain feelings and emotions. What you do is limitless. The emotions and feelings are positive. The reward is the expression of self-love and the feeling of love in the capacity to like who you are and the ability to influence your reality consciously. You have but to believe, and the choice is yours, absolutely. Like who you are, pay attention to what it is that you believe certain elements are. When you put in place your series of principles that you're about to apply, understand what those principles are. Be clear of what they are. When you, for example, hold the principle of integrity, what does integrity mean? What is your perception of integrity? You see, there are some for integrity simply means that, well, I have these options, and if I choose this one, I will be operating with integrity, and if I choose this one, I won't be quite as successful in accomplishing this particular reality experience with integrity, and if I go the other way, I will not have any integrity at all in my interaction. For many, that's the definition of integrity and how you would apply it to certain aspects and interactions that you're involved in. We would suggest that integrity is when you are involved in an interaction and you do what you perceive to be the right thing without thinking about it, spontaneously. A spontaneous reaction that you consider to be the right reaction is in operating with integrity. You can apply that type of logic to all of the principles that you put in place and decide which, for you, is the proper application of the principle. And once again, right or wrong only exists in your so-called awakened consciousness state. But nonetheless, when you're applying principles, you want to be on the side of what you personally would consider to be the right side in order to achieve what you in your awakened consciousness state would consider to be the positive and the correct application of the principle, so that you can like who you are, so that you can begin to love yourself consciously, so that you can understand the feelings and emotions that are involved in this self-love and in this liking who you are consciously. And the reason that you would do it is that you can experience that intense range of emotions and feelings that accompany the expression of self-love and love for others, and the expression of another's love for yourself. And ultimately what that does is it raises your expectation for what it is that you imagined that you can create and experience in your day-to-day activities. You begin to expect that it's possible for you to create the reality that you consciously desire. because you like who you are, because you feel the trust and the security and the joy that comes from the expression of self-love. The choice is yours, absolutely. The entire reality that you experience is an expression of the beliefs you hold and a validation of your choices, your decisions, your desires. You do it anyway. That's the irony. You create your reality. You are the God you search for and you cannot fail. That's the irony. You have but to believe. Now, if you have any questions, we would be willing to attempt to answer them for you.
I've been using a lot of affirmations and mantras lately to create the reality that I desire. Is that one of the most effective ways to do it, or is there more effective ways to do that sort of thing?
What do you believe? The method of the technique that one utilizes is not nearly as important as one belief in the method of the technique. We have used the analogy, and perhaps you have heard the analogy, that creating your reality is like going on some type of a journey. And we use the analogy that to go on this journey, you must cross the body of water. And so you come down upon the shore, and lined up upon the shore are a multitude of vessels. And you can choose the vessel that you would utilize to cross this water. Now, some entities will run up and down the shoreline checking out the vessels to make sure that this is the one, this is the right one, that it has all of the necessary provisions and it has all of the seaworthiness and it has the crew that is going to be necessary for you to accomplish your journey. And other entities will look at a particular vessel and say, well, it looked pretty good, but I think I've heard of another one farther down the shore. So they run down the shore and they check out the next one. And then they hear of this other one that's back the other way, and so they run the other way and check out the other one, and continuously searching for the proper vessel that will take them on the journey. And then there are other entities who come down upon that shore, get into the very first vessel, be it a simple canoe with a paddle, and begin their journey, and because they believe that that's the vessel that's necessary for them to accomplish their journey, that indeed it will do what it is that they desire. It will give to them that which they desire to achieve. The irony of it is that you could walk across the water, you don't need the vessel. Because you believe you need the vessel, then you choose the one that you believe will accomplish your mission to take you on your journey. And so it is that the belief in your vessel is more important than the vessel. And so it is when you choose a method or technique that you wish to utilize in accomplishing your reality, your belief in the method or technique is more important than the method or technique. We suggested, rather ironically and in a very humorous manner, that if you wish and if you believe, if you get out of your bed in the morning and you put on your left sock before you put on your right one, you will be very successful in creating your reality if you believe that that's what's necessary. The method or technique is not nearly as important as your belief in the method or technique. If you believe, then it will work. If you don't believe, then you best look at a different vessel. The vessel is not nearly as important as the belief in the vessel. The method or technique is not nearly as important as your belief in the method or technique. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Well, now, that's really interesting. Before we conclude, we would like to perhaps spend a moment or two interacting at a different level. And so if you wish, we would ask each of you to close your eyes and listen to our suggestion. It's not necessary that you become involved in this little interaction. That choice, once again, is yours, absolutely. But nonetheless, you may find it quite enjoyable. So we would ask you to become very relaxed. Get in a relaxed position and simply close your eyes. Close your eyes and take in a deep breath. And begin to feel your body relax. Like a slow, slow, warm, relaxing feeling that begins at the top of your scalp and begins to cascade down over your head and down through your neck and over your shoulders. And relax. And allow yourself to feel completely at ease. And relax. Allow the relaxation to creep down across your chest, down through your abdomen, and relax. And with each breath, feel the tension slip away and be replaced by total and complete relaxation. And as you begin to relax, even more, begin to hear only the sound of our voice as you go into deeper and deeper relaxation as it creeps now down through your legs, and allow the relaxation to creep through your arms and become relaxed, relaxed. With each breath you feel total relaxation creeping through your very bones, down now through your ankles and your feet, and out to your very fingertips. Relax. 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 We are going to count down from the number of 5 to 1. And when we reach the number 1, you will be totally relaxed and only hearing the sound of our voice and understanding that you are indeed in complete control, that you are indeed enjoying because you choose to enjoy. And you relax. 5. Becoming even deeper relaxed. 4. Feeling completely at ease. 3. Hearing only the sound of our voice. 2. Very near. And 1. 1. Completely relaxed. Feeling at ease, feeling very warm, very comfortable, and very safe. And I want you to imagine that you're in a very safe place. Be it in a garden, or perhaps beside a fireplace, in a warm and cozy cabin, your safe place. We want you to imagine that you are enjoying your surroundings and feeling once again completely at ease, very comfortable.
I want you to utilize your senses to become aware of your surroundings. Feel the warmth. Inhale the fragrances. Feel at ease. I want you to feel that you are becoming very tired and that you wish to lie down and enter into a very altered state of consciousness. And so you once again relax, relax, relax. And you alter your consciousness even farther. And the flesh disappears and you find yourself in another environment. An even more pleasant environment. In a deep dream state. Where time begins to lose its influence on the experiences that you're involved in. Perhaps you're involved in another life's experience. Perhaps you're involved in enjoying what you might term as being a very desirable interaction and relationship with others. Enjoy the experience. And then once again, you feel that urge to put it aside. To put it aside. And to go deeper. And to help you go deeper, you can utilize your imagination of perhaps an elevator or a stairway, whichever you feel the most comfortable with, that takes you deeper. And deeper, and deeper. And when you reach that next deep portal, there's a doorway, and you open the doorway, and once again, you step into an even more desirable experience. And once again, you enjoy the interaction, and once again, the utilization and understanding of time and space is not nearly as strong. And you can enjoy and be involved in various experiences, in various different elements. And again, you feel that urge to close your eyes. To go with inside and to go deeper and deeper and deeper. And as the other illusionary realities come into your vision and you are experienced, you appreciate them, you recognize them, and you put them aside and you go deeper. And deeper. And each time there's another reality that appears, you validate it. You don't try to hide from it. Experience it and put it aside. And go deeper. And deeper. And deeper. Go deeper. You go deeper, and your quest is to reach a place where there seems to be no more realities, where the realities stop coming, and and you become connected with the ultimate reality and the understanding that all of the realities are one, that you are that one. Now, we would like you to slowly begin to return to this consciousness. Slowly reverse that procedure. Begin to feel your body come back into its awakened consciousness state. We are going to count down from 3 to 1, and when we reach the number 1, you will be wide awake, and you will be feeling very refreshed, and you will indeed have a complete memory of all that you were involved in. And so, with the number of three, you begin to feel your consciousness returning, coming back to this state. And number two, you're beginning to feel like you are waking and becoming involved in your awakened consciousness state. And number one, you would be wide awake and feeling very refreshed and indeed having total recall of all of the ones that you were experiencing. Now, that's an interaction that each of you can be involved in, should you choose to do so. And because of your belief, once again, in time and space, you will find that as you continue to practice with that type of an interaction and of a meditation, that is possible for you to achieve the connection with that portion that you like to refer to as your higher self, to get a glimpse of the unconditional spark of self-love and consciousness that you are. That opportunity exists for each of you. And if you find it of an assistance to have this type of a meditation, this type of a guided presentation, then we would suggest that by all means utilize it if it assists you in your quest. The results can be quite rewarding should you choose to believe and should you choose to go upon that journey, if you wish. Now, once again, it has been indeed a very enjoyable afternoon and interaction, and we would like to express our gratitude to each of you. And we would remind you that we are not separated by time or space. And should you choose to interact, you have but to express the intention, and we would welcome that opportunity to interact and to share with each of you. And so we would bid each of you farewell with love and with peace.